This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Hope you had a fabulous weekend. Gordon and I are ready to talk to you, talk a little baseball, a little football, a little basketball, and some hockey. So, Gordon, let's go to work. Join us at 1-800-919-3776. Also via Twitter at Hardesty ESPN, at Gordon Damer, at ESPN NY, 98_7 FM. We're here until midnight. Then there's Freddie and Fitz on 98.7 ESPN. And by the way, Jay Peasy and Jake the Snake along for the ride. Hello, Gordon.
Larry, how are we feeling today?
Great. How are you?
Can't complain, right? Yankees will sweep the series. Perfect
baby.
Homestands. Rolling along.
Just rolling.
Rolling.
I thought about you yesterday.
How's that?
I was on the air when Joey Gallo went deep.
It figures that Joey Gallo goes deep on the game that's on Peacock and nobody can see it. You know, the one time the guy actually does something, Larry, can't even watch it. Uh-huh. I think I have Peacock, and I was trying to figure out how to get it up and running. And you know, I said, you know what, the hell with it. I don't care. I don't really care that much. I don't care. And this is, again, this is for a team that I have been watching since 1979.
Wow.
79 is like the first real season that I remember. And, you know, it's like if I got to jump through, if you're losing me.
Wow.
I mean, that's a bad sign. You know, so, like at least Amazon, I feel like, is a very popular service, right? Like I'm a big Amazon guy. So I have Amazon Prime. I watch shows on Amazon Prime.
I think you have stock.
Yeah, my wife should, with the amount of deliveries getting dropped off of this house every day. And the Apple stuff, the Apple TV, I got it specifically for the baseball.
Right.
But you know what? Like, at the end of the day, what do I need all this stuff for? Just to simply watch a baseball game. And you know what? There are games that, you know, sometimes you miss. You're busy doing other stuff. It was a beautiful weekend.
It really was.
And you know what I said? To hell with it. We went and we watched the Top Gun movie. The family. We went out to the movies.
Wow,
Tom Cruise.
Look at that.
Paid our, you know, $1,000 to go get some 4 tickets and some popcorn.
You'd have been cheaper sitting Peacock.
Oh, my. I thought I was. I said, did I buy the plane? What am I doing here? Wow, this is crazy. But it was good. I enjoyed it. I actually thought I went in with very low expectations, and it kept me entertained.
All right. Is it better than the first one?
It's better than the first one. Now, the only problem with this one
is.
There, you know, there's two stories. There's the action story, and then there's the love story. The love story makes no sense. I don't know why they put it in the movie. It's just kind of crammed in there. It doesn't make any sense. But the actual action story of the planes and the pilots and all that stuff, that was fantastic.
All right, good. But the bottom line is you're out with the family and you had a good time.
We did, and we missed Joey Gallo's home run, unfortunately.
But
I'm sure
he'll
hit another one in another 6 weeks.
Yeah, or more.
Yeah. I think he's on pace now for like 20 homers this year, so that's great.
Or the next time they're on Peacock.
Maybe. I don't know when that is. I'm not exactly circling the calendar for that.
I know that's right. Mets take a 1-0 lead over San Diego, bases loaded, walk. So let me ask you this, Gordon, before we get to our topic, because it was something I touched on yesterday. And that is because I got some folks who are like, I don't know where am I gonna find this Peacock? And so baseball's in an interesting scenario here, Gordon, because I think the younger audience is where streaming is. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would think so. Sure.
Okay. So you know, folks like you and I, we're not, even though I cut my cable ties, but for the most part, folks like you and I, we're cable folks. We're not, you know, searching for all the different apps and trying to find out where the game is and all this other stuff. We're not trying to do that. It's the younger audience. But Gordon, does baseball feel like, okay, even though we know the older audience is going to be with us, we'll never lose them. We're trying to build the younger audience by putting it streaming. Do you think that's going to work?
I can understand the rationale, but I don't even think that that's what they're doing. I don't even think that there's
just
a
money.
Plan. It's just money. That's exactly right. Peacock said we're going to pay you this much, and you know what? That grows their financial pie, and that's all they care about at the end of the day. So they don't care that the old fans will stick with them. They don't care about building new fans. It's just about finding some other way to increase the overall revenue that they bring in. And you know what? I found it interesting because the Yankees were, you know, the starting pitching's been so good, and it felt like every single day, you know, this guy's flirting with a no-hitter, this guy's flirting with a perfect game. It would be fitting for baseball, because of all these dopey streaming services, that it'll end up happening on some service nobody's even watching, and they'll have this incredible all-time moment, and nobody will even see it happen, because it's happening on Peacock or Apple TV on a Friday night, or Amazon or one of these other things. It's just so silly.
It's interesting because, as I was sharing yesterday, Gordon, you go back, and this is the NBA, like, what, 20 years ago?
Right.
When they took it off NBC and that's TNT. Like, what's TBS and TNT? Like, what's Ted Turner doing with basketball on there? Superstation? What's a superstation? And this is, you know, and nobody in their right mind ever thought, right, that you could possibly watch, even though, thank God, the NBA is on ABC. Thank God. But who, that you could possibly think that you'd watch a championship on like a cable service 20
but at least,
years ago.
At least the cable service, it's the one remote, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, you're flipping channels and, you know, I understand not everybody has all the different channels, but, right. You know, at this point, TNT and TBS, they're pretty much a part of everybody's cable system, if it's important to you that way. But this is, you know, if you told me the only place I could get Yankee games was on Peacock, okay, fine.
Right.
But that's not the story. I have to have, yes, for the most, you know, for the bulk of them. Mm-hmm. Then I have to have Amazon for a certain amount of games. Then I have to have, at some point, it's like, you know what? I don't need it that bad. You know what? You don't want me to watch it. That's what it feels like. It feels like you want me not to watch it. So you know what? I won't watch it. I won't watch every single game. On a beautiful Sunday afternoon, when it's 80 degrees outside, we can go out and do something else as a family? Okay, fine. You win. You win. I won't watch your product. I don't know necessarily that that's the way you grow a game, and I don't think that that's necessarily their intent either. It's just that, you know what, this time around, Peacock was willing to spend this much money, so that's why they got the games.
And they tried to help you out, Gordon. I mean, the game started at 11:30.
I don't like that either. I have a certain routine that I go through, you know, and I like the games at 1 o'clock on a Sunday. And and you know what? They're not doing that because that helps me in some way. They're doing that because it helps their broadcast partner, because they'll have the first game of the day, I guess. So they think that more people will tune in that way. I mean, it's just, if you ever needed more evidence that it's all just a money grab.
Yeah.
This is the perfect example. I mean, three different streaming services, and they're not even the most, if you told me it was on Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, you know, I wouldn't like it then either, but at least those are three things, you know. But then,
to offer you something else to watch.
Right, exactly. What am I, you know, I don't know what's on Peacock. My wife had it for a while because she liked to watch The Office.
Okay.
So we got a free trial. Mm-hmm. So she had it for a little while. She likes to fall asleep watching The Office. I don't know why, but she does. Mm-hmm. That's her routine. Mm-hmm. So we had it for a little while, and then we canceled it. I think we still, I don't know, we might still have it. Who knows? I don't know what goes on in this house, Larry. I'm not sure what is going on here. I think we still have it, but I couldn't find it and get hooked up to it the other day. And I just said, you know what? It's fine. I'll find out about it later. I'll watch highlights.
Yeah. And you know, that's, and of course, because you have a smartphone, you probably could see it somewhere.
Exactly,
anyway.
Exactly. I was in the movie, and I would just, you know, I would go on Twitter and just, you know, do a little refresh. All right, they're leading this, you know, that's what I did.
Yeah, makes sense. It really does. So when we return, Gordon and I have an interesting discussion in line here, because as you Knicks fans know, Quinn Snyder resigned from Utah. And so that has fueled the speculation, again, that Donovan Mitchell's going to want to go somewhere else, maybe even New York. And there was somebody today who is a Knicks fan, Gordon, who is a Knicks fan, who said the Knicks don't deserve Donovan Mitchell. Don't deserve Donovan Mitchell. We'll hear from him, and we'll give you our thoughts next. And you can weigh in as well. It's the ESPN New York Tonight on 98.7 ESPN. So, Gordon, you know that many of us have been very interested and intrigued about what's going on with Donovan Mitchell. And, you know, because we feel that, you know, even though I know there's other people who don't think that he's going to be a good player for the Knicks, And there's some question about him, I would say. But for me, it's about what do you have to give up to get him? If he's available, your job as front office person on this team, whether you're Scott Perry, whether you're Leon Rose, whether you're World Wide West, is to improve the talent on this squad so that you can move on, move further toward having what all fans want, sustainable success for their team. And we have the battle of young players and veteran players, right? And fans love the young players. They always love the young players that you draft because you feel, you know, you feel attached to them, right? They're part, you grow with them. They're yours. But right now the Knicks they've got a lot of young players and they need to parlay some of those young players into some veterans so you can, you know, start to build and have a mixture of young players and veterans so you can move on to, as I mentioned before, sustainable success.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, they're not all. It's almost like when you're talking about a baseball team and they trade away a bunch of prospects that you've heard about. Oh, this is going to come back to bite him. This is going to, right? Like Jared Kelenic when the Mets traded him away. Oh, my goodness, he's going to be a superstar. Or the Yankees when they've traded away countless prospects. Oh, this guy's going to come back and he's going to be great. At some point, you got to pick. You got to scout yourself and know which guys you really think are going to be part of the long-term solution and what parts you're willing to give up. And look, I'm not saying that Donovan Mitchell is the type of player that you move heaven and earth and you trade whatever they're going to ask for. But I would simply say, and I kind of brought this up before, like if that's not the type of guy you're in on, then why is Leon Rose here? Like, that's the type of player that he is supposed to be connected to. And he's a CAA guy, so you would think he would have some sort of connections there. Mitchell's a local guy, right? He's from, like, Westchester, I think. So it was even mentioned the time when he was drafted, those type of things were kind of brought up about them being a local guy. And you've seen him out and about during the offseason repeatedly at Met games. I think he was at Ranger games or something. He's been a bunch. So I would just simply say, if this is not the kind of guy that the Knicks are bidding on, if he is available, and I'm sure the Jazz are going to say, no, he's not available right now, but if he becomes available, that's the kind of guy you brought Leon Rose to go get, a guy who significantly upgrades your talent base.
No doubt about that. Now, Stephen A. Smith on First Take this morning, Gordon, said that the Knicks don't deserve Donovan Mitchell. Here's part of the reason why.
Y'all do understand that Phil Jackson should not be allowed beyond the borders of New York after passing up Donovan Mitchell with the 8th pick to draft Frank Ntilikina. I was on New York radio screaming about the fact that Donovan Mitchell played for Louisville. This brother could ball. You got the 8th overall pick. You snatch him, and Phil Jackson, all right, bad hips and all, talking about he saw this guy, Frank Ntilikina, play in France, was worthy of being the number 8 overall pick. That's all I got to say, because even thinking about it even more pisses me off.
So, Gordon, he also mentioned that, you know, if they were somehow able to get him, he's happy to have him. But I guess his point was, we shouldn't even be in this situation because you should have drafted him when you had the chance to draft him.
Well, if somebody has a DeLorean that can drive 88 miles an hour, I'm all for it to go back in time and not even hire Phil Jackson. I mean, I think we'd all be in agreement that, you know, hindsight's fantastic and it's 2020, but the idea that the Knicks don't deserve him because Phil Jackson was a disaster, I don't know necessarily that I follow that logic.
I was shocked. And I you know what that is? That's frustration as a Knicks fan. That's what that is. That's frustration and trying to figure out, you know, not believing that his front office will be able to get the job done. So he's already saying, they can't do it. They can't do it. It's not going to work.
Well, that's a terrible attitude to have. Like, I mean, the guy's not even available yet. And already, you know, you got Stephen A. Nah, you're not going to get him. Don't worry. But, you know, at some point, you got to get somebody. And if you don't, well, then Leon Rose is about as effective as Phil Jackson is, right? I mean, like, the reason you got Leon Rose was because of his connections. He's going to be able to get you into a room and has ties to superstar players around the league. They clearly don't want to come here simply to, you know, be the savior of New York. So you need somebody to make that pitch. So bring in the former agent who has ties to already established players. This is a guy that he has to have some connections to.
There's no question he does.
So I don't understand why you wouldn't. And I saw one thing about, well, you know, Donovan Mitchell, he's not a flawless player. There's some questions about his defense. In his last 10 playoff games, the Jazz are 2-8. The Knicks have not played a total of 10 playoff games over the last decade. Get me the guy who's at least playing in playoff games, and then I can figure out the other things around him. I wouldn't really worry about that so much. The price tag is going to be significant. I'm sure it is.
That's the issue. And that's why I don't think he'll come here. Because I think the Knicks will be in a similar situation as they always are. It will cost them too much, and the player will end up coming here alone. And that's not what you want either. You want to have a combination. The whole idea is to sprinkle veterans in to help your young players get better, not to trade all the young players away for a veteran, and then he's got nobody to work with.
Yeah, no, I mean, I understand that. But it seems like the Knicks should have enough resources to be able to supplement the talent around him. Now, you can't very well trade away the entire team, but this is a guy that you're talking about. He's 25 years old right now. He's going to be 26 years old. He's a three-time All-Star. He's probably top 10 in scoring the last couple of years. Like, that, to me, get me that piece first, and then let me find out the... Because I'll be honest with you, for all the young talent the Knicks have, I don't look at any of it and say, I know exactly what this is going to be long-term. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I could say that about R.J. Barrett. And I love R.J. I wouldn't want to give him up in the deal, but is R.J. Barrett ever going to be Donovan Mitchell?
Don't know. Don't have a clue.
Yeah.
And you know, you've seen – the only thing you know about R.J. is he works hard and he gets better every season.
That's true.
And that's a good thing. You definitely know about that.
Is that ever going to add up to 26 points a game?
Yeah, I don't know. And the other thing with the other young players is – you're not going to find out about them because you have a head coach who's not really enamored with playing.
That's a great point, right? Like, we're talking about all this young talent. At what point does the young talent actually get to get some run? I mean, we saw some of them at the end of the year. Emmanuel Quickley, we certainly saw some at the end of the year. Is next year the year where Obi Toppin's ever going to play?
Not if Julius Randle's still his starter.
So what are we talking about?
No, he's not going to play. He's not. I mean, we've seen that already. He might get... maybe get a couple more minutes, but he's not going to get meaningful minutes because this head coach, and I get it, Gordon, I understand it. His job is to win games. And his role is, listen, I'm trying to win games. I don't have time to develop players. Now, if I can win games and give guys a couple of minutes and they get better and then they earn their spots and I put them in different spots, give them different points of the game and I feel confident in them, okay, they'll get minutes. Like Grimes. Grimes got minutes, all right, because he injury and he was really good defensively and he happened to hit some threes and then he started to get into the rotation. Well, that's only one or two players. They've got a bunch of guys sitting over there.
Yeah, so anytime if they're talking about trades and draft picks, future draft picks, what's the point of keeping them if the coach you have is never going to play the guys that they turn out to be anyway?
Yeah. It's an interesting scenario. It is. Before we get to the phones, Gordon, I was just watching Blake Snell pitch. He's on the mound for the Padres tonight. Mets leading 3-0 as they bat in the top of the second. And I was just thinking how dominant he was with Tampa. But it was really for one season, right? He was 21-5. And then really he's been like an average pitcher.
Yeah, well, I mean, he just doesn't last very long into games. Like, he's one of those guys that the first couple of innings you watch it. Well, not tonight, but generally, you know, first couple of innings, you're like, wow, this guy is, he's lights out. He's really locked in. But you're right. I mean, he does not pitch deep into games. And that one season was completely an outlier. Now, I think the was it the the strike, the, not the strike, the pandemic season, I think he had a pretty good year there. But out, yeah, I mean, he only had 1 year where he looked like he did that Cy Young season, if it was 2019, 2018, somewhere around there.
Yeah, he, I mean, because he was, I watched him, I remember watching him against your Yankees, and he was dominant. 21, he was dominant, Gordon. He was just.
Well, when the Rays get a guy and you know that guy's name, you know that the Rays are going to get rid of that guy, and he's not going to be nearly as good as he was on the Rays.
Yeah.
So I just pulled up his stats here. Last year for the Padres, ERA of 4.20 and a whip of 1.3. So nothing, you know, no great shakes there. He doesn't, again, doesn't pitch deep into games. And then this year, his ERA coming into the night was almost 5. So that tells you, you know, and that's a pretty good pitcher's park out there. So
it is.
It's not what you're looking for.
No, it isn't. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Paul's in D.C. Paul, you're batting leadoff on ESPN New York tonight.
Hey, thank you, Larry. Gordon, the most cynical man in sports talk. Let me help you with the plot in Maverick. Penny was the daughter, the admiral's daughter.
Oh, no, I understand it, but they did not need. I know, I understand the plot, but I don't need that. That every time she was on the screen, I did not need that part of the story at all. You know, sometimes it's good to have the love story as part of the story, but then sometimes you don't need it. And that movie did not need a love story part of it. It could have just been all action all the time, and nobody would have missed it.
So you knew who Penny was when they said that's Penny.
You know, when they show you the flashbacks, you kind of remember it. Yeah, I mean.
No, come on. That's who Goose and Maverick flew over. And you can't be upset with seeing Jennifer Connelly more than once on screen.
It's all, look, she's a beautiful woman. I'm just saying it's not, it was not needed. That part was boring. And she's on the boat and they're driving the boat. I mean, come on, you don't need any of that stupid stuff. Just give me the planes. I came for the planes. Give me the planes.
So Gordon, you prove my first comment, the most cynical man in sports.
I think Don LaGreca is still on the radio here. I can't possibly.
Between you and Don, for sure. Right. Thank you, guys.
All right, Paul. Thanks for checking in. Justice is in the Bronx. Hey, Justice, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on, Larry? What's going on, Gordon?
Sir.
Everything is smooth, my brother. I'm at work listening to you as always. Nice having a good evening. Good day.
All right.
But, man, you made me laugh. I called in when you started talking about Donovan Mitchell, and then when I got in, you said exactly what I was saying about him coming by himself. And then Gordon does his original bringing people together, talking about if he comes, then, you know, some other people will come, and that's what we need. Then you started talking about Barrett. What I'm basically going to say is please don't give these people false hope. He's not coming over here, and if he does, what are they going to get from us? They want Madison Square Garden because they don't want the players. They want the whole stadium. Gordon, you have to let me know, what are we going to give to get the family together? That's basically my question. And, Larry, I know you know that it's not healthy for Donovan to be that young to have this much stress. He's from New York. That's why he didn't go to Seton Hall or St. John's. He knew the stress. He went to Louisville, and he rocked out. So I just want to understand, what hope are you trying to give us over here?
Well, actually, Justice, what we're trying to do is just have a discussion based on information that is out about Quinn Snyder resigning and you know, now the possibility of Donovan Mitchell unhappy because he really liked Quinn Snyder. We already know, Justice, and thanks for the phone call, my friend. I'm going to let you get back to work. I don't want you to lose your job. And then, Gordon, we already know that he and Rudy Gobert aren't exactly dining
buddy.
In the same, you know, lunch hall. All right. And then, but really the ultimate question becomes, okay, is how involved is Donovan Mitchell in the next head coach? Right? Is how involved is he? Is he really involved? Do they hire his suggestion if he is? And if they don't hire his suggestion, does that mean he wants out? So there's so many layers to this. We're just having a discussion, Justice. We're not saying he's coming.
No.
This is not, let me make this clear. This is not, oh, Kevin Durant is definitely coming to the Knicks. This is not that.
No. Well, here's the thing, and I would say to Justice this. I think that we can all agree Adrian Wojnarowski is the best in the business in terms of reporting situations.
Mm-hmm.
He reported that Donovan Mitchell is both disappointed and unsettled with Quinn Snyder now leaving it and the direction of the organization. If he's looking to be disappointed and unsettled, the Knicks are the perfect destination. I mean, those two words go together, you know, like, I don't know. There's nothing, there's no better duo than that for the Knicks organization. So it would, in all seriousness, it would have to start with Donovan Mitchell saying, you know what, I want out. Mm-hmm. All this is just speculation until that happens.
Right.
And you're right. If they go out and say, you know what, we want to keep Donovan Mitchell and we're going to do whatever it takes. So we're going to hire the coach that he likes or he favors. We're going to try to make trades to supplement his talent with players that he feels like he would play well. Okay, fine. But if he does say, you know what, I want out, I think that the odds of the Knicks being involved in this grow. That's when you can really start, because he is a local guy. He has connections from CAA. The Knicks, you've seen that they've had connections with CAA, with Leon Rose. I don't think it's that far-fetched if he ever says, I want out of here.
Does it concern you, though, Gordon, and this is what gives me pause about him, and it's not really fair, but it's the way it is, right? I mean, Utah doesn't get far in the postseason at all.
No.
I mean, for a guy of his talent level, and I get it, and I'm the one that always tells you one doesn't beat five, so I understand that. But he's not exactly Dame Lillard, right? He doesn't go down firing. He just doesn't. And you know, that team should give a better showing in the postseason than they've had, especially the past couple seasons.
Well, look, if it were all wine and roses out there, he wouldn't want out, right? Quinn Snyder wouldn't be going anywhere. They wouldn't need to make a change even before when the season ended for them. We all said they got to shake something up, because this is another season where it ends in disaster and it ends poorly for them. So, yeah, I think the fact that they are having these problems in the playoffs, he is part of that. But I think that creates an opportunity if it does turn out that he says, you know what? There's just too much to fix, and I don't want to be part of the fix here in Utah.
Yeah, I agree with him. I understand that. I agree with that. I'm just, you know, just some of the articles and reading, because, you know, as his name got mentioned more and more, especially during the postseason, you know, I'm reading this and then he doesn't go bare, he doesn't pass the ball. I'm just like, oh, God, here we go again. I mean, you know, as a Knicks fan, I don't need that type of stress either from a player.
I hear what you're saying, but it's like, what else are we doing, right?
Yeah.
Like what are the other – like, if you tell me the Knicks have this option and that option, I'm not saying that Donovan Mitchell is the
right.
the go-all-in and that's the number one guy on my list the whole time, mm-hmm. but they've averaged, I think, 51 wins over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I could, you know, that's a good starting point. I'm not saying it's a finishing point, but it's a good starting point. And those problems, like being 2-8 in the playoffs the last 2 years, those are better results than the Knicks have had in the playoffs the last couple of years. The Knicks have not played 10 total playoff games in the last decade.
I don't know if I'm happy or depressed now that I've had this conversation. I felt better before I had the conversation. Gordon, did you see this other series? Snake was just telling me about how this series is going.
There's actually another update, Larry. Sorry to jump in.
No, go ahead.
The update I gave you during the break is, obviously, Rangers fans, if they can advance, will either go against most likely the Colorado Avalanche, who are up in their series 3-0 over Edmonton. Edmonton is just fighting not to get swept right now on their home ice. They were up 4-2 in the third period before Colorado scored 3 goals in a row to take a 5-4 lead. Before, just a second ago, the Oilers responding, and now it is a 5-5 game with about 3 minutes left. So Edmonton's fighting for their lives, basically. Colorado really no pressure being up 3-0 in the series, but Rangers fans certainly have their eye on this series. Both teams are not a layup at all, but I think most people can agree that this Colorado Avalanche team is probably the favorite to win it all.
It's going to be interesting. That sounds like a fun game, Gordon.
Now, let me ask you guys just one question.
Sure, go ahead.
So with this Tampa Bay series against the Rangers, a lot of people thought, you know, the Lightning swept the previous round. So now they have a lot of downtime Do you guys think that that's a positive thing, that a team gets a rest, or when a team is playing so well, like the Lightning just were, sweeping the entire series, then they all of a sudden they're not playing hockey games, they're kind of not really in the groove anymore. Would you guys say it's better for the Rangers if Colorado sweeps this and then has downtime, or would you rather them kind of lose this game and the series continue and maybe they get tired or worn out? What do you think's better, or is it just kind of a toss-up?
I think it's a toss-up.
Yeah, I think there's just too many variables, and we decide it after we know what the ending is, right? So if the team comes out and they don't play well early and they've had all this rest, we think, well, obviously the reason they didn't play well was because they had all this rest, where if they came out and they played really well, well, of course they played well. They had all this rest. So I don't ever think that those type of things, maybe in some specific instances, but I don't take it as a blanket thing that all the time I'd rather my team play long series and stay in that groove or have a whole bunch of rest before the next series.
I couldn't agree with you more. And like to your point, if a team has injuries and then all of a sudden they have a few days to rest.
Yeah, sure.
Like an example I'm thinking of is the Giants-Ravens Super Bowl back in the day. The Ravens had a couple of weeks rest where they got a few key players back. So obviously having that break benefited them. But to your point, I think it's kind of a toss-up and people just make up the story after the result.
Absolutely.
So I'm totally in agreement with you there.
Yeah, I think it depends. It depends on so many different things. For me, if I were an athlete, I'd want to continue playing though. I wouldn't want the rest. Because athletes are they're in such a groove. You know, they love the, just having a set schedule that everything goes the way it's supposed to go. Everything is happening. So for me, I would rather keep playing, because when you practice, I mean, what are you doing to practice? What are you doing now? You're not even practicing this time of the season. You're just skating around. We're skating around, shooting pucks. Oh, come on. What are you doing? Yeah. You're not doing anything at this point.
Well, I mean, it is a very physical sport. Maybe, you know, you rest your legs a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just me, Larry, I'm so locked in on the Rangers series that I have boycotted the other series just out of intensity to the Rangers and the Lightning.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've not watched any of this Avalanche and the Oilers. Yes, of course, the Oilers and Edmonton. The Avalanche. Of course, they're going back and forth, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I parachuted in for a couple of minutes.
There you go. Well, you're a big event guy. You know, you like event, right?
Well, you know, you never let somebody ask you about it. Yeah, right. Exactly. So you just want to, you wanted to speak in. Gordon, John Heyman in today's post said, and Aaron Judge is better than Mike Trout, and he should get paid accordingly. I'm taking the paid accordingly off. Forget about that right now. I think we have to reevaluate. We have to reevaluate how good Mike Trout is. I mean, Gordon, this team has lost 11 straight. I mean, when he's available, he doesn't seem to make much of a difference. He's been hurt so much. Listen, I respect him. I respect what he brings to the table. But Gordon, I can't say he's the best player anymore. Similarly, as we had the conversation about Jacob DeGrom, I can't say Jacob DeGrom is the best pitcher in Major League Baseball anymore because he hadn't pitched. So how am I saying the same thing about Mike Trout? I can't say that Mike Trout's the best player. I'm watching Aaron Judge at 6'8"? 6'8", 6'9"?
Yeah.
Play center field.
Pretty flawlessly, right? There's not been any plays that I remember where you're like, oh, well, you know, that happened because he's not a regular. I mean, he has played it pretty flawlessly.
And he's hitting home runs, and he's hitting for average. He's not hitting 195.
No, he's not. Well, look, I think Mike Trout is a sensational player. He has been hurt a lot. He missed a lot of time last year, I think it was. So that plays part of it, right? You have to be available to play, and he's not exactly been Mr. Iron Horse. But I think that mostly it speaks to the baseball's not a one-player type of team. You know, one-player type of sport. You can't – if you can be the greatest player in the world, and if you don't have some talent around you, you're not going to win games. And the Angels have had the last couple of years, they've had Shohei Ohtani, who's an MVP caliber player every single year because of what he's able to do. And to start the season, we're like, hey, look at that, the Angels, they're going to be back in the playoffs this year. Well, maybe not so fast, my friend. They might not be back in the playoffs because now they're back under 500, and it just feels like it's a lot of the same thing. But, you know, in terms of what Judge has done, I will say this. Judge has certainly had a better season than Mike Trout so far, and that's no slight against Mike Trout. Mike Trout is probably one of the top seven or eight players in the sport, but Judge has been, to me, the best player. You know, if you take Ohtani out of the mix because of the versatility of the pitching and the hitting, if I were starting based on what they've done so far, a team for this year, there's no player I'd rather have right now than Aaron Judge.
I mean, he's performing. He is this. I'll say this about the commissioner of baseball. When he was pushing for Aaron Judge to be the face of baseball after he had the 50-plus home run season, he wasn't far off because I think if Judge continues the way he is, okay, it continues to be able to stay healthy, continues to be able to play. And I'm telling you, Gordon, his ability to play center field, I think is upping his, it's increasing his popularity and his price tag because that versatility.
Yeah.
Center field is not, and this, we're talking center field at Yankee Stadium, which is not exactly a small outfield.
No. Look, I don't know really what else he can do to increase his price tag. I mean, he's hitting home runs every single day. He has been directly responsible for why, you know, the team has been as good as it has. He's been a big factor in that. It's not just that he's playing well and the team's playing poorly. He's absolutely going to get paid. And the fact now that he's transferred and played center field, you know, we talk about, well, the Yankees are going to have two issues, you know, Gallo and Hicks that both can't hit. Who's going to, you know, how are they going to solve center field? They might have solved center field. Mm-hmm. That one you might be able to cross off the list because Judge has been, he's been great out there. And he looks so flawed. I mean, he looks like that's the position he's played the entire time. So there's not been any plays that he has made where you're like, well, of course he's not going to get to that ball because he's too big and he's not really a center fielder. It's been a pretty smooth transition, certainly more so than Joey Gallo, who came here with the reputation of being this gold glove outfielder. There's been far more plays where I'm like, oh boy, what is Gallo doing out there? There's not really been any plays where I've said, hey, what is Judge doing out there?
No, he hasn't. He's done a great job. There's no question about it. And, you know, like I said, he's impressed me. I was already impressed by him, but his ability to play that outfield, the center field, the way he has, it's been an eye opener. It really has. And he's dominant at the bat.
Oh, I mean, you know, it's amazing to me. He still does not get that low strike.
I know.
Low strike. It's a low ball. It's clearly a ball. And you would think with as much attention as there's been on it, as much as the Yankees have complained about it, as much as it's been a focus, you would think at some point the umpires would get together and say, hey, you know what? We are really screwing that up. Here's one of the stars of the game that we're screwing over because they're calling these pitches. And he's been very patient. He is far more patient than I would have been in that situation. But I think at some point, you know, like baseball's got to get on the ball and say, you know, this is one of the stars of the game. That guy is supposed to get the benefit of the doubt. He's not getting the benefit of the doubt. He's getting jobbed in the process.
He is. There's no question about it. He is. And he has a great eye at the plate, too.
He's the total package. As long as he stays healthy, and it's amazing to me that there's all this rush of articles that, oh, look, Judge has done. No, he hasn't done it yet. Like, what he's doing is amazing. He's having a career year at the best time, and he's part of the best team in the sport right now. But that the production aspect of it really was never a question. We knew he can produce when he's on the field.
Yeah.
The question is, will he stay healthy for the entire season? That's the question.
Yeah. Well, listen, he's done a great job so far.
Yeah, let's hope so, right?
He can't do any better than what he's doing right now.
Absolutely not. No, I mean, for a guy who already put up a year like he did in his rookie year with 50 home runs and should have been the MVP then, for him to be having a season a third of the way that you're saying this is a career year for Aaron Judge tells you just how good of a season it's been for Aaron Judge.
Yeah, he's been amazing. He really has. And the Yankees just keep rolling along. I'm very curious, and of course we'll be on tomorrow following Rangers and Rangers Lightning, and of course we'll take your phone calls. No matter how that turns out, we'll get your thoughts about that. But I can't. I'm a little curious to see how Gary Sanchez is going to perform against his former club. I'm a little curious about this, Gordon.
Yeah, well, look, he's actually not been that – I mean, he's probably been a I don't know, top five, top seven catcher in the American League so far this year. Now, you might look at his numbers and say, Gordon, what are you talking about? Look at the other catchers in the American League this year. They're not great. Mm-hmm.
No, I know. I know. But just considering how he was, you know.
Right.
Top seven is like number one compared to the way he was way he played before when he was here. The
I mean,
past
he still
years.
He still has the power. He's never going to be Johnny Bench behind the plate. We know that, right? Like that is just not his strength. But he's able to catch at a major league level to a certain point. I don't know if his defense has been any better in Minnesota. I haven't followed it that closely, but I'll tell you, I never thought that I would miss Gary Sanchez, and I wouldn't say that I miss him. But if you gave me two buttons to push for the rest of the season, I can watch Gary Sanchez bat or Joey Gallo bat. I know which way I'd be going.
You'll take Sanchez.
Yeah, I would.
We'll continue the conversation.
Sanchez so far this year, batting average of .229, an on-base of .289, and a slugging of .446, which doesn't sound that great, but his OPS plus is .114. He's hit 7 home runs. He's driven up 27 runs. Mm-hmm. And when you're a catcher, that's not too bad. That's
pretty good.
That's pretty good.
You'll take it. There's
you will.
No question. You will take it. We'll continue the conversation next on 98.7 ESPN. Go ahead and have some calls. Let's get to them before we talk a little Rangers and hear from a very disappointed Rangers squad that Gordon, I predicted they would win yesterday, even though I acknowledged that Tampa was going to be desperate. They couldn't go down 3-0. And I got to tell you, I was feeling pretty good about myself when they were up 2-0.
Oh, you're living the life of a prospective bettor, Larry. When you make that bet and the team gets out to the hot start, you're like, oh, look at me. What a genius. I knew this was going to happen. I'm just so smart. And then, of course, the worm turns. And you're like, oh, how did that? Only me. This only happens to me.
Exactly.
That's what we all say. You know, it only happens to me, as if the world revolves around us.
Or thank God they didn't put money on this game.
Well, yes. If you didn't, that's good.
It's one of those two. It's mm-hmm. one of those two. Charles is in Brooklyn. Hey, Charles, you're up next on 98.7 ESPN.
Hello, Larry. Hello, Gordon.
Charles, what's going on, my man?
Yes. Question. If the Rangers make it to the finals,
yes.
And they go up against the Avalanche, well,
say again, Charles?
Hey,
you got a lot going on back there, Charles. You got to speak up. You got a lot going on.
I don't know.
Okay.
What was the? Do we know what the question was? If they win this series and get to go up against the Avalanche?
I believe he wanted to know if the Rangers advance, will they have home ice against both Colorado and Edmonton? But I believe the answer is they would have home ice against Edmonton, but since Colorado has the best record, they would have home ice against the Rangers.
So right. Colorado was the President's Cup trophy winner this year, is what you're saying. They won the President's Cup. It's the best.
If you say so. Yes,
that is always remember, it's the Stanley Cup final. It's not the Stanley Cup finals. It's the Stanley Cup final. The hockey fans are very, very particular about it.
Well, the best record in NHL actually went to Florida Panthers. They had 58.
Oh, well, they were the President's Cup.
So they were the President's Cup. But in the Western Conference, Colorado led with 56 wins. So they would have home ice against the Rangers. But if somehow Edmonton finds a way to win this game in overtime and battle back from being down 3-0, which has never happened before, the Rangers indeed would have home ice against them.
I think the Rangers got their own worries right now. You know, like, let's not get
ahead of ourselves. Yeah, let's get to the final. Or you said final, right? Not
right.
Finals.
Stanley Cup final, yes.
Let's get to the final first and then decide who is going to be our opponent then.
Gotcha.
Yep,
I think that's a smart approach.
That's the way to go.
If tomorrow night goes badly, oh boy, you know? Yeah, it's funny. After one loss, the general feeling from Ranger fans has been, you know, it's disappointing. We let them off the hook. But we're still in good shape. We're still fine. We're still up in the series. They lose tomorrow night. I get the feeling that the feeling would not be the same.
Yeah, it would be more like, boy, Gallant really can't coach, huh?
Oh, look at this idiot. Look at this idiot. What is he doing with this line in there? Shesterkin, this and that, you know.
What's going on?
It changes very quickly.
Doesn't he know? Oh, jeez.
What's wrong with him? He's been doing this all season.
Exactly. Calvin's in Washington. Hi, take Calvin. You're next on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, my man Larry, how you doing today? And Gordon.
Calvin, what's going on, man?
Good, good. I was listening to the Aaron Judge statement, and it really got me to call the phone. And I'm respect to all Yankee fans and respect to Aaron Judge having an amazing free agent year and putting up the numbers that he has. But he cannot be in the same breed as Juan Soto. You know, the man has never, all due respect, I know we don't look at 300 no more, people batting for 300, but Juan Soto's not having right now, he's hitting, what, 230? Guarantee you at the end of the year, he'll put his average up and the numbers will be there. But he's a different hitter, he's a different player. The man hit last year 145 walks and 90 strikeouts. He is the best hitter in the game by far. Aaron Judge has never hit 300. Aaron Judge can be in the same breed as Juan Soto. Juan Soto's been consistent. Besides,
well, Calvin, I wasn't,
Aaron Judge rookie year.
First of all, Calvin, I wasn't just talking about his ability to hit. What I mainly was talking about is Aaron Judge playing in center field and how well he's played center field, which is really not his position. So no, I have no disrespect for Juan Soto. Juan Soto's a tremendous player. He is, as a matter of fact, he might be in a Yankee uniform.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Calvin. If Judge goes someplace else,
don't get the shine too. Man.
Next stop is Juan Soto land. Absolutely. No, look, you're not going to get me to talk poorly about Juan Soto, and you're
great.
Right. I mean, in terms of maybe a pure hitter, you know, bat to ball type of stuff,
yes.
you have a point there. Judge, I don't think, is ever going to win a batting title, which Juan Soto has already done in his career. But you know, if you're talking about being a productive hitter, they're pretty close. Now, they're not close in age, but they're pretty close.
Mookie Betts is another player that don't get as much shine, and he's been so consistent for so many years. I don't know why that's typically not the reason. The man has been unbelievable and doesn't get as much credit as what he deserves. I know Larry mentioned him about a year ago, I remember Larry mentioning this. He now the best player in the major leagues. He's always been so consistent, and he's still fairly young. He's actually younger than Aaron Judge, and never gets the credit that he deserves. And probably is a better defender as well. I'm not trying to take nothing away from Aaron Judge.
No, nope, just having a discussion.
He should get paid as well because he's having an unbelievable season.
Well, I don't know that you can say that Mookie Betts never gets the credit. He signed a 12-year contract for, I don't even remember how much money it was worth, but it was like $350 million. So he got credit on payday, I can tell you that much. And Mookie Betts, well, I think generally the perception over the last few years, I don't know necessarily right now, is that Mike Trout has been the best player overall in the sport. Mookie Betts has been no further down than two. And the last couple of years, he's been... Yeah, he's been right there as well.
Yep, he's knocking on the door. Knocking on the door.
But I broke my boycott, Larry, of the Western Conference Finals.
No, you
did. I did. And Colorado, I believe, has just won it. They're going to go to the replay here.
Look at this.
Very quickly into overtime, and the Avalanche, as they say, put the biscuit in the basket, Larry.
Whoa! Look at you with the term. 6'5".
I can fake it like the best. Now it might have been a high stick. Oh, was that a high stick there? Maybe, I don't know. He knocked it down out of the air. I don't know if that was considered a high stick. Maybe that's what they're looking at here because he did put it up kind of high. I don't think it was above the shoulder though. That looks like that's going to be. If I had to rule on this, I would say this is a good goal, Larry.
Boy, if you're Edmonton, that's a brutal way to lose the fourth straight game.
Ugh.
Oh, that's a tough. You fight to go to overtime and you.
Yeah, I don't know who the player was on the Avalanche, but there was a shot from the point, and there was a player kind of skating towards the goal, and he knocked the puck out of the air. It bounced off the goaltender, and he took the rebound, and he put it in. I guess the question is that they're looking at to see if this is a high stick or not.
Yeah. And how about his teammates leaving the goalie out to dry over there? There's nobody over there.
No, nobody.
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 Nobody there.
Now, is that considered? Well, it might be. I don't know. It's supposed to be above the shoulder, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to
be. I don't know. I don't know if you're going to get it much higher above the shoulder than that.
Yeah.
He's kind of like reaching out as he does it. So, trying to paint the word picture here for the audience, Larry.
Yeah, it's a good job.
They're hanging on every word of the Oilers and Avalanche. Oh, my God. It's huge.
Especially the Ranger fans. They wonder who they're going to face next.
And I believe they've just ruled it a goal. So that is it for the old Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, imagine the poor people of Edmonton. What now do you have to do, right? I mean, like, what's left? Are you waiting for the CFL season?
Look at you, bringing people together. Gordon, I think Adam Fox sums it up with all the various fans and Ranger players after the game last night. When he was asked, what happened to two zip? Here's what he had to say.
You know, we took advantage of some penalties early and got that lead, and then, you know, took some penalties ourselves, and our skilled team, they're going to capitalize. I thought, you know, we had some good kills. I mean, that one in the third was obviously a lot of zone time, but some big blocks. And yeah, I mean, then, you know, they tied it, but, you know, the third period for us just wasn't good enough. We were on our heels the whole time, and, you know, eventually they're going to get one, and they did.
That's a tough loss, Gordon. I mean, that is as bad. That's a tough loss. It's bad.
Yeah. Well, look, it's a blown opportunity no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Now the only question is it going to be the type of thing that you regret all summer long, right? Like, is this mm-hmm. now, I mean, it's a worst case scenario that I'm painting, but it at least has the possibility because you were in control of that series. You were in control of that game. And to allow them to score the way they did, you know, early on, third period, tie it up, and then you just get deeper and deeper into the game, and for them to steal one where it felt like you still had some opportunities to take that game and put it away, and if you put that game away, it's over and out. I don't care how mm-hmm. many cups the Lightning have won in a row. Mm-hmm. Now, it might be the type of thing where the Lightning emptied the tank yesterday, and they got their one win, and that's all they're going to get. Let's hope so for the Rangers' sake, because if it turns out that now all of a sudden Vasilevsky's going to be Vasilevsky and the Lightning are going to look a lot more like the guys that we thought that they might be coming into this series, that's one it'll be easy to pinpoint where things went wrong.
No doubt about it. And as a matter of fact, Adam Fox was asked if he thought Vasilevsky is going to get better as the series progresses.
I mean, yeah, he's a pretty good goalie, obviously, you know, both goalies in there. But, you know, I think we just, you know, the first two games we're getting a lot of traffic and a lot of opportunities, you know, a lot of maybe second chance opportunities in zone time that, you know, it's never easy for a goalie when you're playing rebounds and having to move around a lot. But, I mean, he's a good goalie. He's going to make big saves. You know, we get big saves too. So, you know, I don't think it was anything different, but just a little more traffic is, you know, important, especially on this guy.
You know, it's interesting, Gordon, because one of the things that the Rangers have been able to do well, I think pretty much overall in the postseason, with a couple of exceptions, has been they've done a pretty good job defending the power play. That didn't happen last night, and Adam Fox was asked why.
You know, especially that first one, we were letting them go back and forth through the middle a few times, and, you know, it's never easy for a goalie to be able to, you know, play the seam pass like that all the time, and you know, I think we let them get set up. I think, you know, we got to try and not let them get zone entry and move the puck around. I think when we have an opportunity to, you know, pressure them, we got to do that. But, yeah, I think they just did a good job moving. And, you know, they have a lot of threats. You know, we try and take away that one time or two from Stamkos, and he was able to get that one off. So, yeah, I think obviously special teams going to be a big part. So, you know, improving the kill is going to be important for us going forward.
I tell you one thing that they have to do tomorrow, Gordon, the Rangers. They've got to do a better job of keeping Tampa off their goalkeeper because they were just, I mean, high-sticking him. Igor, I saw him go down. I wonder if he was going to get up. Looked like he got to stick to the right under the mask. You can't allow teams to punish and beat up your goaltender. You can't do it. You don't have to – I know the power play. I know it's postseason. I get it. I know you don't want it to have the man advantage. It's huge, as it was last night. No question about it. But, Gordon, you cannot let other teams beat up your goalie and you don't do anything. Can't do it. Can't do it.
Yeah, and usually in that type of situation, it's like teams overreact. So that's kind of surprising that was not the course that they took.
Yep, it was. It really was. And Gallant talked about it. He wasn't happy about it. He said that Gallant took it better than he did. So these are the things that you – this is about adjustments, Gordon, and we'll see what adjustments the Rangers make for the game tomorrow night. And once again, you'll hear that game. Don LaGreca anchors our coverage following the Michael Kay Show at 7 o'clock. You know, the puck drops a little after 8, and then, you know, it's Rangers Lightning in game 4 of that series with the Rangers up 2-1 and needing a win to turn things around, to come back home, Gordon, and wrap it up. No need to extend it. You win tomorrow, you come back home, you wrap it up, let's go.
Yeah, I mean that's the ideal world, especially after you dominated the first two games of the series. That was the hope. I don't know that. Yeah, we'll see if it's the hope after. I think Ranger fans, though, again, as I said before, I think they're still pretty confident. They still look at things as, you know, the way they played at home as opposed to how the Lightning, you know, the game was close yesterday as opposed to the two games at the Garden. So maybe you cash in on one and bring it back home and get ready for the Stanley Cup final.
Well, I think they saw close to the real Vasilevsky last night. And so, like you mentioned, that's going to be the key. Did he find his sea legs? Is he ready to go? Is he going to be on top of his game where he made some stops? Or are they just going to have to bombard him with pucks the way they did at the Garden? You know, you got to keep testing the goalies. It seemed like Shesterkin was always under fire. He got outshot by, it seemed like double. It just looked like from watching the game.
Well, I'll say this, and I watched it after the fact. Like, I knew that the Rangers had already lost by the time I watched it on the DVR, so it kind of shades how you see things. I thought that Vasilevsky looked different in that when he was at the Garden, every shot on him, it seemed like he was struggling with.
Right.
Like, it almost was like, even ones that were, like, just point blank, it didn't seem like he was controlling it the way you would think he would. Yesterday, he seemed more comfortable. Maybe that's being at home. I don't know. Here's the one thing I don't get, because I've heard this today, was that the fact that the Lightning, they had to put so much into that game. Now, they got the win, but they had to put so much into that game, they're not going to have anything left for game four. Maybe that is true, but like we were just talking about how they had all this rest before that.
Yeah.
So if they had all this rest before that, how can they already be tired? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I just think the Rangers are a better team. From what I've seen of the series, it just looks like the Rangers are a better team. And if they are the better team, they should be in good shape.
All they have to do is something that we hear from coaches ad nauseum and laugh at them. They have to execute the game plan.
Right.
That's all they have to do is execute what they're supposed to do. And, you know, Chris Kreider talked about how he made a bad play on the game-winning goal last night. And so he knows what he did. The team knows. They looked at the video today. They understand. They were okay. I mean, you know, they just have to tweak a couple things, Gordon. They were up 2-0 in this game. So they have to,
right.
You know.
It wasn't like it was a blow. It wasn't like a reversal of what happened at the Garden. That's for sure.
Yeah, they didn't play terrible. They had some. They didn't defend well on the power play. And so they'll look at that and they'll make the adjustments there, and they just go out and be aggressive like they were before. They'll be okay.
Yeah, it's a little, you know, I was talking on Saturday that this is like the worst case scenario for the Islander fan.
Yeah, I know.
The Islander fan, this must just, because like when the Rangers got this thing going, yeah, they made the playoffs and yeah, but they're going to lose in the next round. Now it just seems like everything's kind of locking into place.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Islander fan, it's even worse because the Rangers are doing it against the team that you weren't able to do it against. Last two years, the Islanders were in this spot and couldn't get past the Lightning, and the Lightning go on and win a cup. So the Rangers not only beat the team you beat, but then go on and win a cup. Oof.
Oh.
That's going to be a rough scene for Islander fans.
There'll be some TVs going through some screens.
Oh, people are going to be breaking TVs,
going through TVs. It's
absolutely.
There's going to be issues. Going to be some issues.
Best Buy is going to be having a sale here pretty soon.
It's going to be, and I understand the frustration. And then and you lose your head coach. You look, you know.
Oh, you're back at square one here. Right, exactly.
it's crazy. It is.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.